Let's pray together. God, we read in your word that you promised long ago to clothe us with your power, with the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you will continue to do so this morning, not so that we might claim that power for ourselves, but that we might be gracious recipients of your power and name you, to speak of you, to speak of your work among us, work that displays your life among us and who you continue to shape us into as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you try to drive a car if you'd never learned how to do so? First five chapters of the book of Acts tell the stories of Jesus' closest followers going on a journey of faith to carry out a mission where they had no power of their own. Would you try to lift a 100-pound bag of cement if you knew that you did not have the strength? Earliest Christians in Acts go out to tell of salvation, real salvation. But it's not like they have anything to offer, anything to sell, anything to give, at least not that comes from them. Would you do this? Would you run a marathon if you hadn't trained? Would you try to prepare a meal if you'd never seen a stove? Don't you think it's a bit ironic that Luke, the physician, tells this story about people going out and healing who had no medical background? In what is surely anything other than a mighty work, anything other than a display of power, we are about to read one of the mightiest works, one of the greatest displays of power in Christian history. Because this mighty work, an act of power that I imagine left the person who got to be a conduit of God's power going to bed that night with more than a touch of fear and trembling, a sense of amazement, a witness of God's power. Acts 3, 1 through 16. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you dare stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His servant Jesus. You handed Him over to be killed, and You disowned Him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith, in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him. As you can all see, maybe the Christian life would be easier if you signed up and then were given some cool mutant power. One where you could just prove that you were actually a Christian. Maybe if I could weld fences just by touching them. And then people could go, ooh, that's a cool power. Where'd you learn to leap tall buildings in a single bound? Oh, I'm a Christian. Here's my card. Call me if you need any buildings jumped. But I think that's actually the point of these opening stories. They go out on their own without having the benefit of Jesus walking physically beside them. And if there happens to be anything that even resembles power, they say, kind of the same thing over and over again, this power is not from us, it's from God. Let me tell you about the real way that God broke in with power, a way that is much more than healing a man. The real power was that God showed up among us and gave us His abundant life. You ever notice how non-religious people seem to spend a lot of time looking for, or at least wondering about, many of the same things we do? Meaning, purpose. You ever notice how some people abuse this power? Not the power to heal, but the power to cite God. The power to name God. To speak flippantly about a mass shooting or a hurricane or even an accident and mention the name of God is, in this preacher's opinion, an act of blasphemy. That's probably why God's Holy Spirit, in the first few moments of the book of Acts, starts Peter off slowly, gently, with something easy to say. That's the power of God. The strength of the Christian witness is that it's not a quest for power. In fact, anytime we appear to have any semblance of power, we follow the path of our earliest brothers and sisters, or at least we're supposed to, who always said the same thing. This is not our power. This is the power of God. But to name such a thing out loud is never to be articulated as a way to tear down others. So, if we ever have any doubt about what we are doing by naming the power of God, one way to be sure is to cite things like acts of love, acts of peace, and say, that is the power of God. God started Peter and John off slowly on purpose. Why should we think we're any different? God may still be starting us off slowly, because it's at least a little more sure to look at something and say, that is an act of God, when it's something that brings healing. That's the story of Acts 3. Let us not forget that, because sometimes I think we do. And I know I do. Perhaps one of the biggest lessons from Acts when it comes to God's wonderful acts of power is once again to remember the way we tell the story. We need to remember to tell the story of what God has just done over our constant obsession over what God will do eventually. One of the biggest sins we may be committing as Christians is casting the future in our own image. Worshiping the future can be every bit as much a form of idolatry. But thanks be to God for this spiritual gift of hindsight. Because I know personally that it's much easier to see where I was wrong when I look back. That sound familiar? You know what the good news is that goes with that? It's kind of the corresponding partner of being able to look back and realize when I was wrong, is that you can also look back and see when you were right. When you did something good, when you did something healing, when you did something that brought peace, so that there too you can look back and say, that was God working in me. And most of those times were acts of love, acts of peace. So much so that it is a joy to tell the story of God at the gentlest of moments and be able to say that those were really the mighty works of God. That those were really acts of power. Amen.